You're listening to the Household of Christ podcast. Be encouraged and inspired as we dive into God's Word.
So today I want to minister on the precious providence of the Holy Spirit. And we know that nothing happens for nothing in our lives. But the precious providence of God is what it's really all about, to be able to see and know God's hand working in your life. What is providence? Providence is not something that you can see in the current moment, but when you look back, it's where you can see where God was working, doing things, orchestrating things, His hand doing things. The song that we so often sing, even though I don't see it, I know that you're working. Even though I don't feel it, I know that you're working. I know that you're busy doing things, God. If I have to find a Bible scripture, and there's more than one, but if I can, one that can really just give us a definition of God's providence, it would be Romans 8 verse 28 that says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." And there's many examples. And as I was preparing, the first person that came to mind was Joseph. Joseph that was in his parents' home and he was happy and he was worshiping God there. Even had the best jacket and suddenly finds himself in a pit. Finds himself in Potiphar's house. Lies, prison. Back in the palace. And he says to his brothers, he says, "Don't say that you did any of this. It was not you, it was God." That was the providence of God using situations and circumstances to take him from where he was to where God wanted him to be. Am I talking to the right people here? And I thought, no, Joseph's story is too easy. Let's find something that's even more tough, because some of you have really been facing some tough and difficult situations. Saying, "God, I wonder where you are. Are you really at work? Are you really perfecting everything concerning me? Because right now I feel like everything's just going wrong." Am I talking to the right people here? Don't raise your hand, just double blink at me. Amen. So if you want things to work out for you for the good, God gave us a strategy last year already. He says, reach up, reach in, and reach out. For those who love God, that's reaching up. Called, that's reaching in. Purpose, that's out. Your purpose is always to reach and touch the lives of people. Jesus said to his disciples, "Go into the world." So your purpose is not just about you. Your calling is not just about you. It's to change the world around us. Just looking at examples, I thought a situation that was really bad was Ruth, the book of Ruth. And it has such a beautiful ending. But if you look at Naomi, her and her family, they're in a situation where there's a drought. They're from Bethlehem, the place of bread. The place of bread has got no bread. It's so bad that they have to move away from there. And they move to the land of the Moabites. I don't know if you know about the Moabites, but Moabites are not allowed to enter the assembly of God for 10 generations. So there's a lot of things happening in the life of Naomi, her family. There's a drought, a famine that moves them to a country where the people there is not really their people. Have you been in a situation like that? They settle there. Both her sons get married to Moabites. Then her husband dies. And both her son dies. Turn to the person next to you and say, "That's a terrible situation." Hunger and three deaths. And the Bible says, Naomi heard that there was provision in Bethlehem again. And she said, "I'm going to go back. I'm going to go back." And her one daughter-in-law, Orpah, says, "Bye-bye." Kisses her and leaves. But we see Ruth comes with a different attitude. In Ruth 1 verse 16, "But Ruth said, 'Entreat me not to leave you, or not to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. What a statement of faith. Because herself as a Moabite is not allowed to go into the assembly of God. But she says to Naomi, she says to him, your people will be my people. That's a message on its own. The God that you say, I may not go into your church, will be my God. That's something to think about. Because faith sees the invisible, faith believes the impossible, and faith receives the incredible. There was a prompting on the inside that she says, my commitment towards you is something that comes from my heart, because I know this is a key destiny relationship. We didn't just meet for me to marry your son. Now he's dead. I see beyond that there's purpose in this relationship. I hope you know where God has prompted you and showed you key destiny relationships. Where you say, I'm not going to give up. I'm walking with you. Decisions that you make in your difficult times determine who you are before God. It's important to make the right decisions. You say, God, help me. So her life begins with tragedy. But she says, I'm going with you. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. When you say things, believing it with all your heart, with your mouth, that is the way that you release faith. When your confession has got your heart's full agreement, that's faith. So when you go out and you say things, make sure that you're in faith. So Ruth's loyalty shows her trust in God. She says, your God will be my God. And here the story begins. They go back to Bethlehem. She doesn't fully understand what's happening, but her trust is in God. Have you ever had a moment like that? Don't know exactly what the future looks like, but God, I trust in you, and I'm going to do what I have to do. And she goes with her, and they get back to Bethlehem. They get back to the place of bread. Look at this verse, number 19. Now, when the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem, and it happened when they had come to Bethlehem that all the city was excited because of them. And the women said, is this Naomi? Everybody is excited. Sometimes you find yourself in a situation where people are looking at you. They see what God is busy doing. You've come back to where you should be. You're excited. They're excited, but you're not excited. Have you been there? A matter of fact, when they call her, they said, Naomi, we're so happy that you're here. Naomi means pleasant, means delight. She says, listen, my name is not pleasant anymore. Call me Mara. Because the Lord has dealt with me harshly, the one translation says. The other one says, the Lord has dealt with me bitterly. Let me tell you something. If you become bitter and you look back, you won't see the providence of God. You'll only see the things that have gone wrong. Listen to me. Can I say that again? If you're looking back and all you're seeing is the wrong, and you're defiling and saying bad things, it's more than likely that you are bitter. You need to get before God and repent. You can go to the book of Hebrews. I'm not going to go there. It says, be careful lest you fall short of the grace of God, lest the root of bitterness springs up, by which many become defiled and cause trouble. So if you are defiling and just talking bad about the past, those people did me in. Those people were this. Da, 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 da. Defiling. Vomiting over them. More than likely bitter. Turn to the person that you say, Aina. So I think I could have had one of those in my life at a stage. Don't be so serious. You know, sometimes we want to be so spiritual. But sometimes just listen what you are saying, and you'll know what's going on here, because this reveals a lot about you. When you say things, Belinda, we accountability partners. If every time I see her, I'm so upset about that Jovan again didn't greet me. That Jovan did it. She's going to say to me, listen, I think you've got a problem with Hope's new husband. I don't have a problem with you, okay? I love you. I like you. I'm using that as an example so that nobody else feels bad. Amen. He always greets me. I always greet him. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? So if you look back at the past, and there's only bitterness, ask God to forgive you. Ask God to cleanse your heart so that you can look back and see his providence. James 5:11 says this about Job. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. Family, you have to get to a place where you can persevere. Sometimes you cannot do it on your own and you have to get people next to you to help you. Do what you have to do to persevere. Sometimes it's tough. Sometimes it's difficult. But you have to persevere and allow God to take you from where you are to where he wants you to be. So they get there. Now they're in Bethlehem. You know why I like it so much? Ruth doesn't arrive in Bethlehem and they say, we've got good news for you. You're the new CEO of this company. It doesn't happen like that. She arrives there as a poor widow. And for her to get food to eat, she has to go into the field where they are busy reaping. And what drops on the floor, or what's not cut off, the leftovers, she can take that so that they can live and survive. Do you know what that teaches us? Sometimes we are waiting for the big things where God says, just start doing something because I'm going to bless the work of your hands. But many of you are stagnant because you're not putting your hands to anything. When you put your hands to nothing, there's nothing for God to bless. But when you just start putting your hands to something, God can bless it. Yes, give the Lord a hand. And suddenly you start seeing a lot of happenings. You know, and I've read this chapter, this book so many times, but this time when I was reading it, I saw the word happening. Happening, happening. Turn to the person next to you and say, nothing happens for nothing. Sometimes God is busy with it. Ruth 2 verse 3, listen here. Then she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Who was Elimelech? Elimelech was Naomi's husband. So what happens? She's just going and doing what a poor widow does. And what happens while she's doing it? It happens that she enters into the field of Boaz. Turn to the person next to you and say, nothing happens for nothing. When you're faithful in the small things, you'll be able to be faithful in the big things. She's going there. You know, where they were reaping, they would leave the edges on the sides so that people can take that for themselves. But because she was faithful to Naomi, say, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to look after you. You might be my mother-in-law, but because she was faithful to Naomi, what you make happen for other people, God will make those things happen for you. She's faithful to Naomi. Boaz becomes aware of this, and he gives his servants instruction. He says, drop hands full for her. And she's starting to pick up hands full, not even knowing God is busy providing for her supernaturally. Prompted somebody's heart to be kind towards her. She doesn't even know it. Can I just say, there's a whole message in this. Know where your hands full are. Know the field where your hands full are. It's very important to be there. You can go to any place and pick up the word. But where is the word that's really feeding you that you can pick up hands full? Amen. So what happens? Naomi sees this and Naomi says to her, don't be seen in another man's field. She says to her, don't go to other places. Stay in this field. Whose field? Boaz. Now at this moment, listen to me, at this moment, Boaz has heard that she's family, but Naomi is the one starting to put the pieces together here. She says, where were you today? She says, I happen to be in Boaz's field. She says, don't be seen in another man's field. Because Naomi is starting to see what can happen here. Can I give you some advice? Go listen to the old godly captains. That's what Naomi was. She was an old godly woman that gave good advice to Ruth. Sometimes you go listen to your young friends that has made just as many mistakes as you and don't have experience. Go get advice from people that have got experience about life. So all things are working together. Things are starting to fall in place here. She sees she has to do certain things. Sometimes we live with a life, que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. Turn to the person next to you and say, get a plan. Can I tell you something? Even Jesus, when he came to this earth, came with a plan. Came with a purpose. So get a plan. Get a plan. There's a scripture in Proverbs 24, verse 3, the TLB, the Living Bible. It says, any enterprise is built upon wise planning, becomes strong through common sense, and profits wonderfully, keeping abreast of the facts. Can I say it again? Any enterprise is built upon wise planning. You have to do some wise planning. Listen to me. Yes, God will do his part, but it's not all up to God. You've got your part to play. You have to have some wise planning when it comes to your marriage. Wise planning when it comes to your church. Wise planning when it comes to your health. Wise planning when it comes to your spiritual life. Can I just have one loud amen? Amen. You cannot just say, God, you do it. You need some wise planning. Not just to let's see what happens. No. You do the possible, God will do the impossible. When you aim at nothing, you're going to hit it every time. Wise planning. So I like this. This mother in grace, she had a plan, a big plan. She understood that culture, how things worked. She said, okay, let's use some common sense here. Turn to the person next to you with a big smile and say, common sense. You know, some people want good, loyal friends, but they're nasty. Common sense tells you, if you're nasty, ugly, sarcastic, you're not going to have good friends. If you want unusual results in your life and you're lazy, common sense tells me it's not going to happen. If you want unusual results, it means hard work. Common sense. Common sense. And then keeping abreast of the facts. Look at the graphs. When you're in business, look at the graphs. What is the graphs telling you? The statistics telling you. You cannot do the same thing over and over and expect different results. If the graphs is telling you something else, then you have to adjust. Ask God for wisdom what to do in that situation. So she says, don't be seen in another man's field. It's safer for you in Boaz's field. You know the people there, it's safer. Can I tell you, some of us could have saved ourselves heart sore, pain, discouragement, if we didn't go to the wrong fields. Naomi is busy starting making plans, godly plans. Matthew 6:33 plans. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. And I read it in the Passion Translation, and it was beautiful. Do you want to go there quickly? So she seized an opportunity here. She's starting to put the pieces together, and she says, okay, this can work. Look what happens. Ruth 3 verse 1. One day, Naomi said to Ruth, I want to see you marry so that you'll be happy and secure. Now listen, here's the plan. Here's the plan part. A man named Boaz is our relative. You worked with his servant girls in the field. This evening, he'll be winnowing barley on the threshing floor. Now take a bath and put on some nice perfume. Dress in your best clothes and go to the threshing floor. But don't let him know you're there until he's had plenty to eat and drink. Watch closely to see where he lies down. Then go uncover his feet and lie down there. He will tell you what to do. You know, many times, even when God tells you that this is what I want to do. Let me use an example in my own life with my wife. You know, the Lord told me she's my wife. He actually told me 13 things about her. And I was so excited. I said, okay, God, I know she's my wife. So we're young, we're buddies, we're gymming and everything. And afterwards, we're sitting there, you know, full of sweat and just talking about the Lord. And here suddenly, one of the guys that's gymming with us walks in, smells like a rose garden. He's dressed neatly, his hair is combed. And he says, where are you going, bud? He says, no, I'm taking Belinda for a coffee. I said, the Belinda God spoke to me about. I didn't say that, I was thinking. But sometimes, let me just tell you, you can have a word from God, but sometimes you're going to have to take a shower, put on some perfume and your best clothes and ask her out. And gentlemen often need a lot of help when it comes to that. So sometimes it's not just to have the word from God. That's God telling you, okay, this is what I want to do. But she says, listen, go shower, go take a bath, put on your best clothes, put on some perfume. She says, but don't go and jump in front of him and say, surprise, I'm going to marry you. She says, don't do that. You're going to give the guy a fright. Amen. Wisdom. Wisdom. You know, some of us say, well, the Lord said he promised me the promised land, and now you're waiting for God to roll up the land and bring it to you. No, you're still going to have to go in and fight the battles and do what you have to do. But he says to her, wait until the guy has had enough to eat and to drink. Let him be happy and relaxed. And then when he goes to sleep, see where he is. Don't hang around there and let every guy see you, because then all of them are going to start talking to you. But she comes in there with her best clothes. He's happy. You know why you want him to eat? Because she's going to uncover his feet. And when a man is hangry and his feet is cold, he's not in a good mood. Amen. I'm just giving you guys some good advice. Amen. But he's done all of that, and she comes and covers his feet. And when he wakes up, he says, oh, it's you. You smell so nice and you look so nice. This must be the Lord that's brought you. And meanwhile, all it is Naomi, amen, and the providence of God. But she says, he will tell you what to do. So when he sees her, he knows who she is. And here I want to come in and say, he says to her, I'm all on board. I see what's happening here now. And I'm all on board. But there's one problem. I'm not the closest relative. Turn to the person next to you. Say, sometimes when you have a plan, it might not go according to the plan. But that does not mean it's over. He says to her, in verse 12, now it is true that I am a close relative. However, there's a relative closer than I. Closer than I. And he says, okay, I see what's happening here. I'm all on board. I put this in especially just for my mother in grace. The man sends a gift to his mother-in-law. You can go read it. But in any case, he sends a gift. And this gift tells Naomi something. It's almost like a DM, because she says to her, when Ruth starts overthinking, I'm giving you my version, when she starts overthinking and he says to her, just be still. Just be still and relax now. Don't do anything. He knows what to do and he's going to make it happen. Verse 18, then she said, sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out, for the man will not rest until he has concluded the matter this day. says, God is busy doing something here. I know what God wants to do. So let's move with the program. So now it's with him. Turn to the person that you say, nothing happens for nothing. So he tells her that there's another person and I have to meet this person. And this is where the providence of God comes in. The Bible says, when he goes to the gate and he sits at the gate, at that same moment when he sits at the gate, here this person comes. And he says, I've been waiting for you, buddy. It's so good I see you here. A matter of fact, when you go to verse 4, verse 1, no sooner had Boaz gone up to the city gate and sat down when the kinsman redeemer of whom Boaz had spoken came passing by. Boaz called to him, come over here, friend. Sit down with me. We have some business to attend to. So the man went over and sat down. Turn to the person next to you and say, work with a plan. So he is not in line. This man is in line. So he comes. He doesn't say, listen, have you seen that beautiful Ruth that came? She's just the most gorgeous and beautiful thing. She dresses well. She smells nice. She looks nice. He doesn't say that. He comes and he says, I've got the business opportunity of a lifetime for you. Do you know you are pre-approved for this wonderful piece of land? The guy says, what? He says, yes. The development potential on this is next to none. And the way this will escalate in the future, if you don't take this opportunity, you're going to miss out. He says, and at what price? He says, it's nothing for you. And the guy says, really? But you're so kind. He says, you know what? I'll buy the piece of land. Go read it. It says, I'll redeem it. And then he gets to the next part of the plan. Turn to the person next, you say, here comes the plan. Then he turns to the guy, I'm reading in the Passion Translation. He says, then Boaz added, the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you also acquire Ruth, the Moabite, the widow of the dead. Therefore, it will be your responsibility to father a child in order to maintain the dead man's name on his inheritance. What is he saying? He's saying, listen, this is a deal of a lifetime. You have to take this piece of land, but it's a whole package. It comes with a granny and it comes with a Moabite. Deuteronomy 23 Moabite. Those kind of Moabites that's not allowed to go into the assembly of the Lord. He says, what? He says, this is going to ruin my whole inheritance. You mean I'm going to have to go to church and my child must sit outside? What will people say? My mother-in-law is giving me a hard time already. You want me to have another mother-in-law? He says, no, I'm out of this deal. If you want it, you can take it. Are you sure? Because, I mean, it's really a great property. Turn to the person next, you say, providence and wisdom. And the Bible says in verse 11, then all the elders and all the people who were at the gate said, we are witnesses. May Yahweh make the woman who is coming into your house like Rachel and Leah, both of whom were built up the house of Israel. May you become famous in Bethlehem. May you become very prosperous. And may Yahweh give you children by this young woman. One person can look at something and see disaster. Another person can look at something and say, this is an opportunity of a lifetime. The elders in the gate started praying and declaring things over them. Be careful what you declare over your children. Be careful what you declare over your children because you'll see those things in the future. What do they pray? They say, may you be famous out of Bethlehem. Who's the most famous person you know that came from Bethlehem? Jesus. Do you know what happened here? What's the second thing? You'll be prosperous and you'll have children. What does the Bible say? What happened? Boaz gave birth to Obed. And Obed gave birth to Jesse. And Jesse gave birth to David. Four generations later, somebody from the descendants of a Moabite is doing what? building a house for God, saying, one thing I've desired of the Lord, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, to behold His beauty and to inquire in His temple. Because the thing that pleases God is not what we do outwardly, it's our faith. It is our hearts towards God. What did she say? She says, your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. I can start preaching a whole new message now for you. God is busy perfecting everything concerning you. It doesn't matter what people have labeled you. Even if people said you will never be able to go into God's presence, faith is the thing that pleases God. God has placed people in your life to help you to reach your full potential, your destiny. And here, a woman where she's living in pain, disappointment, death, and sorrow is starting to enter into the good life. And when she was in that moment, she couldn't see it. But as you look back, you can see how the Lord was busy working in her, with her, through her. And in the same way He's doing it for you, He's doing it for everybody, as He did it for her. I'm going to go back to Joseph. I'm making a nice U-turn because it's such a beautiful scripture in the Passion Translation. Genesis 50 verse 20. Even though you intended to hurt me, God intended it for good. That sounds like Romans 8:28. Everything is working together for the good. Even though you intended to hurt me, God intended it for good. It was His plan all along to ensure the survival of many people. So don't worry. I will provide for you all that you need, both for you and your little ones. Wow. He loved God in his parents' house. He loved God in the pit. He loved God in Pharaoh's house. He loved God in the prison. He loved God in the palace. And when he looked back, he said, don't you come and tell me you did this. It was not you. It was the precious providence of God. God allowed all of this and worked it all together for good. Because I continued to love him, because I was called for a purpose, and I understood that purpose was to help. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to help you. I'm going to provide for you and do what I have to do. Family, we all have to just become still for a moment, where we've become despondent, discouraged, and just look back and see the hand of God, the providence of God. Go look at your own life, and you'll see all the happenings that you thought, oh, just happened, it happened, happened, and you'll see the hand of God working in you, with you, and through you. The precious providence of the Holy Spirit. Take some time. Go look back at what God has done and just go and say, thank you, Jesus, for your providence. Thank you that you're busy working everything together for the good, because I love you and you've called me for a purpose. Selah. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy, your tremendous grace. Thank you for the hand that we do not always see, that's always busy working, oh Father, perfecting everything concerning us, taking us, Lord, from where we are to where you want us to be. We thank you for that, oh Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Make your people's way straight and make it smooth. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Visit www.hoc.org.za to learn more. Household of Christ, loving God, loving people.